I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 646. Here's your host, Danny. And also joining me this week, we have Pete in the house.
What up? Good morning, America. And all
good
points
morning
across.
And also Paris.
Good morning, Danny. How are you?
Good, man. Good. Super excited, man. So you're, I think you were like watching the whole Halo 5 championship this weekend.
No, I wasn't watching it. I just read an article about it. because apparently nobody's watching it. So I think that's the problem.
Well, we definitely got to talk about that later. You were going to say something, Paris?
No.
Oh, okay.
Awkward silence.
Awkward silence. It's like awkward.
Hey, I will say this. I'll say this, though.
What?
I can see the Danny Forskew future with the news that came out today about GameStop, or that came out this week about GameStop.
I'm in shock.
We're headed towards your future, which we're headed there anyways, but we're starting to see the signs.
Oh, okay. So now you're slowly giving me more props.
No. Your freaking idea for Xbox consoles is freaking insane. But the future, of digital only. I mean, we're headed there. I mean, we're not going to get there anytime soon. But this is the first start, the first steps towards it.
Okay. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamertagRadio. Listen to our past episodes. And also you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/GamertagRadio.
All right, so we have a lot of things to talk about, and I think we should start out with this. We talked about very quickly about GameStop, and Paris, what's going on with them right now?
They're closing up to 190 stores. I guess it's between 2-3% of their stores nationwide they're going to close, which, like I said, could be up to 190. Globally, GameStop has about 6,600 stores and about 4,400 in the United States. So, I mean, it's not like GameStop's in trouble or anything, like, oh my God. But the fact that they're even starting to slowly close stores, you know, just due to lack of sales and things like that in the actual brick and mortar retail is a telling sign. I mean, when you look at online retailers like Amazon, you know, even Walmart is really starting to step up their online store. You know, Best Buy, the fact that they offer these incentives now of 20% off for on digital pre-orders, or not digital, I'm sorry, on physical pre-orders. You know, why am I going to GameStop? Why am I spending that money for their rewards card and all that when I can just go to an online retailer and basically get the same thing? Not to mention, you know, people, you know, starting to buy digital copies of games, you know, from the PlayStation Store or from Xbox Live, things like that. So the old days of where GameStop dominated maybe a decade ago are starting to go away. I mean, GameStop is really going to have to change their business plan to start competing, or they're going to be closing even more stores in the future. Because I don't know about you guys, but going to GameStop is the absolute rock bottom last option for me. I do not go there. I don't like going there. I've never liked going into GameStop. I feel like I'm in a used car sales lot. You know what I mean? it just has that reputation to me. I don't like the pressure from the people that work behind the counter. And you know, God bless them because they're just doing their job. But the second you walk in their store, they're trying to get you to pre-order this. They're trying to get you to buy that versus, dude, let me just walk in the store. I already know what I want. I don't want to deal with, like, I got the PlayStation 4 Pro, for example. I got it from GameStop. Ugh. It was just disgusting walking in there. Them just hounding me, trying to get me to get a bunch of stuff. It's like, no, I'm just getting this. Leave me alone. And
yeah,
so I'm not surprised by this, but like I was joking earlier, this is just a sign towards the future. I mean, 5 years from now, I can see by the time we get the PS5 and whatever the next Xbox and all that kind of stuff, highly leaning on digital copies versus physical. And once we start going all digital, why would you even go into a retail store? Makes no sense.
Yeah, and the thing is, when was the last time we actually went to a store waiting in line for a game?
Exactly.
You know, the last time I did that was
2 weeks ago when you went to go get the Switch.
Yeah, but that's not a game. That's an actual console. That's different, you know. But I'm talking about an actual game. Like, when was the last time we've done that? You know, I usually download the game digitally all the time. Or like Paris said too, sometimes I'll go to Amazon and purchase the game through there too, because I'm a Prime member, so I get an additional discount with that, you know. So I'm always taking advantage of that, you know. So
I don't know. We can't all take the fact that GameStop is closing shops as a direct result. I mean, yeah, they saw, what is it, according to their press release, that they saw hardware sales fall 29%, software sales drop by 19%. They're closing stores, yes, but at the same time, they're also opening up 65 other stores within their brand. So they're opening up more Simply Mac, Cricket Wireless, and Spring Mobiles, as well as ThinkGeek stores. They're opening up another 35. So if you really think about it, yeah, they're closing 150, 190, but they're opening up 100 more. So
But it's changing the business model. That
was, oh no, of course. I mean, and that's just a nature of the business beast, right? You're closing some in order to open up more avenues on the other side. As a direct result to the gaming industry, yeah, it is going to hurt. But I don't think, in the grand scheme of 6,600 stores or 6,500 stores, 190 is really a small percentage. I mean, could those just be very low performing stores that they opened up 5-6 years ago, you know, during the high boom of the gaming industry? And now, as things start to temper themselves out, where, you know, it doesn't make sense to keep them open. So I can't see it being a complete waving of the white flag, so to speak, right? Of, you know, digital versus physical, and the Amazons and the eBays and the other opportunities, and like the Best Buys and things like that, that, you know, where other people have a better chance to get games. It's just a nature of the beast. I do think, though, as you said, Paris, that they need to stop the furniture salesman / car dealership experience, right? Make it back to selling games and focusing on them, as opposed to, you know, hey, here, you know, let me give you, you know, $2.19 for your 37 games that you're trading in credit. Let's bring it back to selling games and giving it a positive experience. But I think that's more of a customer service, you know, just a company ethos and the expectation people have when they come into that store.
And you know what could it be an issue too? I think that in some areas, there are too many stores close by too. And I think when you have too many around the same area, it hurts the business too. So it's like, it's not worth it. Why have five around the, like, let's say we're here in Miami, super close to each other. Instead of having five, let's have two that perform, that's like the best out of the five, you know.
Well, like, again, like that, like I said, it's lower performing because they opened up a lot of them during the really big boom 5-6 years ago, and they just couldn't sustain that, the amount of sales that are required to keep those businesses, you know, in the green on the books. So mm-hmm. you know, as a result, the lower performing ones always get, you know, hit on the chopping block. So unfortunately, these 190 stores or whatever are going to get shut down. But at the end of the day, I don't think GameStop is going to take a massive numbers hit, especially if they're opening up 100 other stores, you know, for other parts of their brand.
See, there's some stores that, like Paris was saying, that you go in and they start saying, hey, you want to pre-order this? You want to buy this? You want to buy this, this, and this, and that? Some stores that I've been to around here locally in my area in Miami, they're not really like that. They, like, it feels very comfortable when you go inside. They don't mention about pre-orders. I mean, they'll ask you, like, just in case, you know, if you want extra stuff when you buy a game, whatever. Yeah, that's like the usual stuff. But like you said, not every store is like that, you know. But I've been to stores, of course, that as soon you go in, they start asking you like 10 questions right before you start even walking into towards the area where you're going to buy the game and stuff, man. So, yeah, that's very uncomfortable after a while, man. Super uncomfortable. But yeah, we'll see what happens in the future, man. So, but for the past weekend already, there's been a couple of leaks, and especially from Activision. We're going to talk about two of them right now. One of them is, this one is going to be a short one, this one right here. There's a new Call of Duty poster that's been floating around the internet. And this is from, I think this year is Sledgehammer Games, right? They're the ones going to be working on releasing a game this year. It seems like they're taking it back to the old school way. The poster says WW2. Pete, I know you've been a fan of the franchise for a very long time. What are your thoughts about this? Do you think this is fake? They're taking it back to World War.
It's hard to tell. I mean, this we haven't gotten any confirmation, so we don't know. I will say that seeing Battlefield go back to its old school roots and going, you know, for Battlefield 1, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a direct, you know, reaction to
it's
it.
It's not.
You don't think so?
How could it be? It's a year later. It's not like they developed the game in a year.
I don't know.
But I think they've been releasing too many futuristic games and people are getting tired of that, man. I think it's time to change it.
Well, think about it. They've been developing this for at least a year, but Sledgehammer and the other devs, they work in what, 2-3 year cycles? Because there's three year cycles.
Right. So this game would have started 3 years ago.
Right, and they would have known at least a year ago because Battlefield 1 was already announced and in the wild a year ago, so they've had a year and a half on it.
No, this is not the case. I would not even start spreading that because, again, the development cycles are in 3 years. There's no way that Sledgehammer a year ago was making one kind of Call of Duty game and go, oh, Battlefield is going back to World War One. Let's completely change our development cycle and force this out of the year.
First time they've Call switched. It would be the first time they've switched directions though midstream.
No, the Call of Duty is the king. They're the king. They are the alpha dog in the house. They dictate what happens in the gaming industry, not vice versa. They're not looking at EA and panicking and going, oh my God, we were going to make another futuristic Call of Duty game, but they did World War One and it had okay sales. So let's switch up everything we're doing and go to World War Two. I mean, EA's been saying it in their financial calls over the past 6 months that Call of Duty was going to go back to its roots. And so there's no way this had anything to do with Battlefield One. It's just a coincidence, in my opinion. And I think it's a good one because they have been doing too many modern and future shooters. So to go back to World War II is a good change of pace. Because if you look at it, they've not done World War II in 9 years at this point, 9 or 10 years. So it's about time.
Yeah, it's about time, man. I think so. Now, would this make you go back if they take it back?
I'm interested.
To its roots?
Yeah, yeah, I'm interested. Yeah, that's my point. I'm interested, just like I was interested in Battlefield 1, going back to World War 1 and, you know, playing that campaign. I've enjoyed it. So, yeah, I want Call of Duty to be fun again because, I mean, it was starting to get too cookie cutter for me. And, we've talked about this. And, I mean, and not like they're hurting, but their sales have gone down from at its peak. So I'm sure Activision has been looking at that trend and are like, okay, how can we shake this up to try and get back to the astronomical numbers that we've had 3 or 4 years ago?
What about you, Pete? Do you see yourself buying this too?
I don't know. I need more. I need to see more. I'm still on the fence. I think I might still be Call of Duty, like just franchise fatigued. I spent way too much time of my personal life on that title.
Yeah.
And I haven't even picked up, you know, Call of Duty, you know, what is it, Advanced Warfare or Infinite Warfare, whatever. I still haven't picked that up. Mm-hmm. So, again, yeah, and I echo Paris's sentiments that, yeah, I'd like to see them get back to that gold standard of FPS, but I need more. I need to see more. I can't jump on the hype trains just because it says World War II. Because I've said it in the past, there's been so many World War II and that era fights that it's almost the same every time you go in. It's going back to the same weapons and the same environments. And I mean, bring back tanks if you really want to bring me back into the Call of Duty experience, right? Bring back tanks, something that they brought in on at World at War, which I mean, that would be interesting if this is essentially World at War II, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, bring back tanks in multiplayer, bring back those vehicle wars, because yeah, some people thought it was OP and if to an extent it was, but it was still a lot of fun. And when they yanked those out of World at War, it really ripped out the fun core experience of the multiplayer, and it changed it completely. And then we never saw vehicles ever again in a Call of Duty multiplayer. So yeah. Am I on the hype train? Not yet. Am I looking, you know, on Expedia for a ticket for the hype train? Maybe, but I need to see more to encourage me to buy.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so let's talk about the second leak. And this is about Destiny 2. And you guys have been talking about this now for a couple months that this is going to be a big game, hopefully, when it comes out sometime later this year. So what is it, the leak, what is it they've been saying out there about the leaks and any new information besides the one that we read before?
Well, first of all, Miss Leo, I told ya. The leak, it was a poster, but the information that was gleaned from the poster is, it looks like it's going to have some kind of PlayStation exclusive content again. Mm-hmm. A alleged release date of September 8th. Which is a Friday, but that's an Italian poster, so who knows if that's 100% correct or not. Mm-hmm. And that there's going to be a beta this summer, which, hey, I freaking told you. I told you this is what they're going to do. This is what's going to happen. They're going to probably officially announce Destiny 2 in the next couple weeks so they can kick off the and a PC version, allegedly, through another leak. But they're going to officially announce Destiny 2 in the next couple weeks. That way they can kick off pre-orders, you know, for Xbox, PlayStation, and I'm doing air quotes, PC. And then at June, they'll have the official gameplay reveal at E3, probably at the PlayStation press conference. So we'll see the gameplay footage of it. They're going to have a PlayStation exclusive alpha during E3, just like they did a couple years ago for Destiny 1. Then we'll probably get a beta in August. And then the game comes out in September. That's what's going to happen. And the hype train has started because I'm ready. Let's go.
Now, what I think what might happen too is, you know, let's go back a couple years ago right before the first Destiny came out. They had the beta, and I believe PlayStation had like a 2-week exclusive type, like you could go and play the beta before anybody else for like 2 weeks. And I think during the second week, and then it was available finally for like the Xbox One and stuff. So I can see something similar to that because of the marketing deal.
Pete.
Yep.
Did Danny couldn't hear me earlier, right?
You just said that. I know that. You just said that. But what I'm saying is that because of the marketing deal, yeah, I see that. I definitely see that happening.
No, you're right. That's what and I know just in the Destiny community, because obviously I got some good friends in there. A lot of people have been talking this week about that and they're upset about it. Xbox players, because they're like, why is PlayStation getting exclusive content again? And look, we don't know if this is 100% yet. I mean, that could change, but I'll say this, all signs pointing to Sony keeping that exclusive content deal. And I said it back in 2014. I'll say it again. That is why I got Destiny on PlayStation, because of that exclusive content, and it wound up bearing out. Like I said, I remember the good old days when Hawkmoon was awesome, and that was when it was exclusive on PlayStation. Destiny is a loot-driven game, so if there's loot out there and I can't get it, I'm going to be upset. So I'm going to go to the system where the loot is. And then I know some people are asking me about the PC version. if there's exclusive content on PlayStation, PlayStation will remain the main way I play Destiny for that fact and the fact that my son plays Destiny as well. So obviously on PlayStation is where we can play together. But if there is truly a PC version, then I'm going to dip my toe into that and I can see me secondarily playing Destiny on the PC version. But if all the exclusive content's on PlayStation, that's still going to be my main platform to play it on.
RIP, what about you, man? Do you see yourself buying the PC version?
Oh, PC? Fact. I will buy it on PC, especially because this is essentially a starting over, right? You're not carrying anything over. I'm not carrying over the 1,400 hours of the three characters that are still on my Xbox Live account, and not including the three I've deleted. It's carrying over the 700 hours I have on PlayStation 4. Yeah, there's going to be time invested on that, and I'm going to play it on PC. I'm still on the fence. I'll likely buy it on PlayStation 4 simply because, friends like Paris and Khalif and, unnamed, industry peoples.
Hey, he confirmed. What did he say?
I know. That's why I'm saying there's enough people that I've played with either on Xbox that are moving over to the PlayStation. So I don't see why not. And the scuff is like, it's starting to tremble on my desk now next to me because it's looking at me like, ooh, I'm going to get played again. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not, why even front? I'll probably jump in day one, just like everybody else. I'll definitely say the hype is a hell of a lot larger than it is for the Call of Duty, World War II thing. I want to see what they're going to do with PC though. That's becoming my big thing now lately, is I'm playing a lot more on PC, and the opportunity for gameplay on PC, especially for a game like Destiny, where it's a lot of, I don't know. I'm hype. I want to see it on PC. I want to do it on both. Are you going to go all in on Season Pass day one, Paris?
No, of course. Of course. I mean, look, I don't even front pretend like, look, as much trash as I may talk about some other games, this one just gets my blind faith. Just throw all my money at it. So, yeah, I mean, if there's whatever DLC plan that they have, if there's a season pass or whatever, then, yeah, I'm there day one because, dude, I've been playing this game consistently for 3 years. And I took a little break over the holiday. I'm literally about to jump back in on Tuesday with Age of Triumph and just go all out again. So nothing slowing down for me as far as this game goes. So, of course, when Destiny 2 comes out, I'm just going to keep it going, man. And I'll say this for the record, the best gaming community, period.
So I have a performance question. Do you think we're going to see 60 FPS on Pro/Scorpio/PC and maybe like a 30 frames on just the vanilla PS4 and Xbox One? Or do you think we're going to see like a consistent 30 FPS across the board on all three?
I think they might go for it with 60 across the board. I think for sure you'll see it on PC because obviously that's the whole point of PC right, being able to do things like that. I don't see them either. It's 60 on PS4 and the Pro and 60 on Xbox One and the Scorpion, or it's just going to be 30. I don't think they'll split that. You know what I mean? I think either it's consistently just 60 everywhere or consoles will be 30. Because they're not going to split that player base and do that.
It doesn't really give you an advantage in game on your FPS, does it?
Don't tell people that.
So let me ask you a question. So let's say Paris, you've been building your character up and stuff, and you got like a lot of cool items and stuff, and
they go.
And there's a feature where you could transfer that character to the PlayStation 4, but you can't do that to the PC. Are you still planning to get the PC version?
That's fine. Fine. Again, that's why I just said a second ago, best gaming community, period, in my opinion. I don't play the game for the character. I've learned that just through the life of this game. It's not about the character. It's about the people I play with. That's why I keep coming back to the game. It's just all the amazing people that I've met in the Destiny community is why I keep coming back. That's why it's like I was on the Guardian One podcast a couple of weeks ago talking with those guys, man. I mean, we talked for 2 hours about one freaking game. It's crazy. It's crazy that it's crazy that 3 years later, I'm still talking about this game and I'm still loving it. So I, even if my current character didn't transfer over on PlayStation, wouldn't bother me. You know, I'll just start over again. It's fine.
Yeah. What about you, Pete?
What am I jumping in?
I mean, no, because you're planning to get the PC version, mm-hmm. but you've been building your character on Xbox.
I've got characters built on both. I've got characters built up on PlayStation. I've got more because Xbox was my main console or my main platform for this title. But because mm-hmm. there's all you're bringing over is your physical character. You're not bringing any attributes. You're not bringing over any loot or experience or anything. It's just literally the physical embodiment of your character. As long as you've completed the main quest, yeah, I think it was Black Garden, and you're at least a level 20. That's it. As long as you've got that, your character's coming over. So essentially, I'll have 4 or 5 characters to choose from when I bring them. You know, when I get to play. But it's not like I'm going to catch I'm not going to bring over such an experience. I'm just going to bring over the physical embodiment of my character. Now, at the end of the day, I have the opportunity or an option to just switch it up and change it. We don't know. So,
okay. Well, here's another one here. Reggie says Nintendo will have a quote unquote, have a big E3 this year, showcasing both Nintendo Switch and 3DS games during E3. And the thing is, he said the reason why this is going to be a pretty big year for them, not only because they launched the new system, but also the consumers are going to be attending E3 for the first time, open to the public and so on. So I'm going to play this audio very quick. This is from, I believe this is from Fox, where Reggie was there for an interview and stuff promoting the Switch. Here it is.
E3 is always a big time for Nintendo. We look at each E3 as a unique opportunity to tell our story. And we're going to have a big E3 this year. We're going to be showcasing a variety of games. We will have experiences for consumers who will be able to attend the show for the very first time. So I'm not going to tell you all of the various games and all of our little secrets for E3, but I can tell you that E3 is going to be a major opportunity for us to showcase not only Nintendo Switch, but also content coming for the Nintendo 3DS.
Now, what are your thoughts, guys, about Reggie, you know, saying that they're going to have a pretty big year for E3 this year?
That's like saying the sky is blue. I mean, come on, this is 2 or 3 months post the launch of their biggest thing in years. You know, of course, they're going to have a monster experience. I would expect nothing less from Reggie and Nintendo, especially based on the success of the Switch launch and, you know, Breath of the Wild getting all of the accolades they've been getting in the public, you know, in the public and media eye over the last couple of weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a hell of a lot more Mario moving forward. By the time E3 rolls around, Switch and Zelda will have been what, 3-4 months baked into the world, mm-hmm. and that's just going to be. I just want to see more physical devices in the stores, you know, because
yeah,
I mean it's for those that were able to get one day one. Kudos to them, but all of the people that were hoping that they weren't going to get caught into the Nintendo Classic experience, it's still there. Yeah, they said that they wanted to have more availability and more product on the shelves, but it's been very, very hit and miss. And I don't know of or haven't seen, you know, any stores restocking shelves. So I don't know if maybe productivity is just that much more difficult with this device, or again, it's Nintendo being Nintendo with, you know, limiting stock. I don't see how it benefits. I don't see how Nintendo benefits from that.
Well, I've seen already a couple stores that got new stock. I think it was GameStop and also Amazon. Those are the only two that I've seen. I think it's going to be even more difficult in a couple weeks once Mario Kart 8 comes out for the Switch. Because remember, there's a lot of people that missed opportunity when it came out for the Wii U. And knowing now that you could play this game on the go, oh man, it's going to get a lot of people to buy that system and that game too in April. So, but my question is to you guys, what type of games you would like to see Nintendo to announce f- for, you know, for this year, that comes out this year and also hopefully early next year?
Mario.
I mean, Mario, we already know, Paris. That's
sorry, Jesus. You asked a question and I answered it.
But we already know about, I'm talking about games that they haven't announced yet. I think that
I would love to see a Donkey Kong game.
That's a good one. Metroid. We haven't seen Metroid in a long time. I think that would be good too. Yeah. And the thing that I'm really curious about is this whole online thing. What are they planning to do with online? Because the past few days, which I'm going to be talking about with my brother in a few minutes, we've been playing Splatoon 2. They have like a little beta test that has been going on for like the past 3 days. It started on Friday. And online, smooth, no issues. It's been like strictly smooth. But the only thing that I miss and that I would like is, man, voice chat. I know they're going to add that in the future with
via your phone.
Yeah, through your phone. But here's the thing that a lot of people don't know, because, you know, I was talking to my brother the other day, because, you know, my nephews have been playing a lot of Nintendo Switch the past few days. But he has this app where he could control how long they could play the Switch. He could also get notifications when they pass the time, and he could just easily turn it off. He could turn off the Switch from his phone while he's like away and they're home trying to play the game and stuff, you know. So that works perfectly with the whole app thing. Now, I want to know how that's going to work with the online version once it comes out later this year. But here's the thing too, Pete. You know, we've been using Discord a lot lately, you know, via the computer and also mobile devices too. And we've used Discord through the phone, voice chat wise. So that works. Why can't it work for Nintendo? I can see that working for them.
So when typically we're doing that, if we're playing with the community, we're playing in a game on the same device. There's no lag. There's no difference. I just find it difficult to do that separately when I'm playing on a console connected to my phone, because then at that point you've got two different audio sources coming into your head, right? You have to have the only difference, I think, with PlayStation, you can mate via Bluetooth and have them both on the same headset if you have the right hardware, because I know a friend of mine is able to connect his phone and his PlayStation on the same headset. So they can do that type of stuff. So, and in that instance, it'd be fine. I'm just thinking along the lines of, let's say if you're playing on the Emerald or you're playing on a Switch and you've got two different distinct audio sources, whether it be your console and your phone or your tablet or what have you, it's going to make things a little more difficult. Or for example, if you only have the Discord app on your computer and you're trying to play a game on Xbox on your console, it's going to make things a little difficult. If they can minimize that, and I think they're doing that simply because they don't want to put in the additional hardware requirement on the Switch. Let the Switch focus on the game and the game experience, not on the rest of that stuff. Let the app and the phone, you know, or the tablet or what have you, let that handle all of the audio and chat and conversation. Let, you know, the game do the game and let everything else do that. And I think that's the direction that Nintendo's going with this. I don't know. I just, when you talk online experience, you don't talk Nintendo, unfortunately. And I think this is their way of dipping their toe without impeding on the video game experience and figuring out what works best for Nintendo. Who knows? We might see it again. I'm talking, you know, full on, you know, guesstimating here, because I'm not the Nintendo talking person, but I would not be surprised, or I would be remiss to say that this is something that you could potentially see in Switch version 2.
Okay. And you, Paris?
I don't know. I don't. I mean, I don't know. I don't know when it... I don't want to just say that. I got to tap out on this one. I honestly don't know. I'm sorry. Fine. Yell at me in the comments on Discord.
All right, there you go. Oh, on Twitter or Facebook too. Yeah. All right, so we're going to play this short audio.
What about you?
With my, what, already just, I just mentioned it right now.
Listen.
Listen, Paris. Listen. Fake news. See you in court. Build a wall. Anyways, I'm going to play this short audio. That's me with my brother. We talked about Splatoon 2, the beta that we've been playing it for the past 3 days. And once we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're going to talk about the Splatoon 2 test fire that just was up like online for like only like 3 days, but like maybe a couple hours or so. Each day was like an hour or two. Saturday, terrible idea from Nintendo, but I think Saturday was the one that had like the most hours. And man, some of them were like really, really early or really extremely late at night, which the servers were available to play. So I got to play it with my nephews and also play it here at home with my Switch. And I play a little bit of Splatoon, the first one. I love the concept. One thing I have to say, Nano, when I started playing Splatoon 2, I noticed they had like this motion thing going on. I really didn't like it at all. There's an option where you could turn that off, so I could use both analog sticks instead of just moving the Switch around and stuff.
I forgot about that that feature in the original Splatoon, and that's why I hated it, because the 3D, like the Wii U tablet, was just so bulky, and like having to move that all, you know, up and down just to like use the camera of the game, it was annoying. But I forgot about that feature. I only played Splatoon 2 for the first 2 days with that stupid feature on until you came over. And it just, like, I was like, oh man, you know, I could have turned this off the whole time. Because once you turn it off, the game is really good.
Yeah.
And it's fun, and it sucks that Nintendo kind of like released a, you know, 1 hour at 7 a.m., another hour at, what was that time? 3 p.m.? Mm-hmm. That was only for Friday and Saturday. And then the last one was like at 11 o'clock at night. You know, my kids were up till midnight playing this game, and it was way past their bedtime. I wish it was just like an open beta where it was like the whole weekend.
I mean, this game was available like worldwide, so I could see why they had these times super early, super late, because they also want a Japanese player to play with other people from around the world too. Yeah, so
no, that's great. They're gonna get the game first. I don't know do they get it released first, because it's just not fair to us. Imagine the people on the West Coast, they were 3 hours earlier. Yeah. That 7 o'clock time for us was 4 a.m. for them. So that was terrible. But you know what? We were up. And that I every game that I played was competitive. Like, that game is fun. It has a great team. I wish there was a chat feature to it. Like, at least so you could talk to people.
Well, there's people that probably are wondering, like, what is it that you do in this game? So it's 4 versus 4. And what you guys do is everybody's going to represent a color. So let's say... we're talking about the demo version. I don't know how the Vita version is going to be. Probably going to be like other new features and stuff. But the one that we played is 4 versus 4 in this big map. And you have to get your paint, your color, all over the location as much as possible. At the end of the day, at the end of the round, you'll find out who has the most paint all around the level. And they'll tell you like if it's 40% or whatever and so on. So it could get really, really challenging. And there's also superpowers. There's also like special moves that you could do too. Like, you could throw like the character that I use, you could throw like this machine. It's like paint all over the place, and then it explodes and stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, like every character has their own special ability, I guess, that you charge up. It takes a while to kind of figure out what's going on, but you could win the match with just, you know, painting the map. The stage that you're on, whoever gets a higher percentage. So it's a cool aspect to a third-person shooter. You know, you have to worry about defending yourself and not being killed by the other player, and also painting every single wall you could find. And I thought it was fun, you know. Like, I always liked those shooter games that don't revolve around murdering every single person around you. Like, this one it's fun. It allows every age to get involved. I had my 6-year-old son playing it. my 9-year old, me, you were playing it. Like, everybody was just playing the game together because it was that much fun. It brings a new, you know, excitement and level of kind of happiness to these shooters.
Which one was like your favorite weapons they use in this game? Because mine was like the double gun.
Honestly, I'm a fan of the paint roller. It's kind of like bulky and it's slow, but you can cover more paint. And I worry about painting the floor more than I do about killing people, which kind of sucks because I always end up dying a lot.
But they're hard. They're kind of hard to kill people though. Not kill, but like, you know,
paint them out of a game. The whole point is, if you're pink and the other guy's green, if he shoots you with a green paintball, you have to restart from the checkpoint.
And it could also get challenging when you run out of paint. So you have to like go under your paint. You only could do that with your color. You can't do that on the opposite color at all. So you have to wait until your tank fills up, and then you could either do the power moves or use your regular paint and shoot.
Yeah, that's a good feature too. Like nobody has unlimited ammo. So instead of picking up new ammo, whatever is painted your color, whatever side of the base is painted with your color, you could dive into it and kind of re-up on ink, you know, like gather more ink and then jump back out of it and start shooting again. So that's always fun. But that's a feature that kind of like backfires when you're trying to kill someone. They'll just jump into their own paint and they swim away.
Now, the last thing I want to mention is the online server is smooth, no issues. It was completely smooth, the whole experience that I played. Every single time I played this game, I found a lobby, found people to play with, and it was very challenging. No lag. It was completely smooth. And I think it was great for like a little device I got for the Switch.
What's crazy is like you think them having a timed beta, you know, from 3 to 4, like, a lot of people would like be hesitant to play, or they'd forget about it or miss it. Every game was packed. There was no delay in between games. It was smooth connection. And I was surprised that this many people like were on Splatoon. It seems like everybody that had a Switch, was logged on and ready to play the game.
One thing I have to say, though, I hate the whole motion thing. I just wish that once you play the game, once the retail version comes out, of course, they're going to have an option to turn that off. But let me tell you, once you turn that motion feature off, the game is great. It's great. So any last thing you want to say?
Pre-order your copy of Splatoon as soon as you can. The moment you get that chance to throw any $5 on the game, do it, because this is the game. This is going to be the best, or at least the most fun, you know, game on the Switch, aside from Mario Kart. But it's the same Mario Kart at the end of the day. Splatoon 2 is going to have a bunch of new features, and I can't wait. I'm really excited for it.
Same here, man. So, yes, that was Splatoon 2 Test Fire, and on to the show.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio, episode 646, and let's talk about our last topic here. Halo 5 Championships. They've been going on now, for the past few days, mm-hmm. I believe. What's going on, guys? Because there's a lot of people talking about this through social media, comparing was it last year or 2 years ago to this year's. Wow, it's kind of empty. The people not attending this event at all. What's going on, man?
Well, to be fair, if you remember a few years ago, you and I went to ESL, which is in Burbank. We went to their studio, and it's in Burbank, and it's like in a neighborhood, and it's small, that area. It's tiny. And where they're doing the Halo World Championships, just some of the pictures that have leaked out, it's looking kind of sparse. It's not, let's just compare it to Call of Duty. You and I went to the Call of Duty World Championships at the Forum in LA, and that was packed to the gills, huge venue, the whole thing. And this is very intimate. Let's just say that to be generous. And I don't fault that because it's at the ESL studio. My thing is, I look at the number of people watching it on Twitch, and they're averaging around 15,000 people watching the World Championships on Twitch. And to me, that's a little more telling because this is the global championships, $1 million prize. and there just does not seem to be that big of an interest. I mean, of course, you have your super hardcore Halo fans. They're all into it, but just the general interest is not there. Whereas, like I said, I compare it to when we went to Call of Duty. I mean, it was like we were like at a freaking rock concert or something. You know, just yeah, all the people
that
were
there.
It's
a whole arena. Right?
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. So
yeah,
I'll say this, and get the angry tweets ready. I said this during the beta for Halo 5. If you remember a few years back, I went to that unveil for the beta of Halo 5. And that was my first time getting a chance to play it. And I walked away from it and I go, they're trying to make this an esport game. They're changing what made Halo fun. I said it back then. And I do believe this is kind of bared out since the game is launched in the past couple of years. Not saying that the multiplayer is bad. I just think it only caters to a niche crowd at this point. It's lost its mass appeal. Microsoft has to fix this. I don't know any other way to say it. They got to fix it because they're killing the franchise that got me into first-person console shooters. And I just see it. I don't see it rebounding if things stay the way that they are. And I know people get mad at me saying that. But again, there's just too many other options out there. And I don't see Call of Duty having this problem. So why is Halo having this problem? It should not be happening.
And it's not only that, Paris, but I also believe, you know, the way how they've been promoting this, because honestly, maybe they haven't really been marketing this at all, man. You know, like I found out about this because I think through Twitter, people were like retweeting and here's the live stream through Twitter. They even had a deal with Twitter where you could watch this right on the front page on your desktop through Twitter. You know, that's pretty huge. That's huge, man, you know. But that was the only way I found out about it. So, I don't know. I think they did a pretty bad job just trying to market this out there, too.
Well, let's surprising that I'm coming to the defense here of the Halo title. Right. From researching this whole thing, it looks like the person that was trying to stand this whole thing up, the venue that they were trying to get actually backed out last minute. So as a result, this was their backup venue. It doesn't say you can't feel bad for them because something like, you know, if you're going to have something like this, you have to get, you know, a top notch venue. And apparently they had, there's speculation that their preferred venue was unable to accommodate them, so they ended up going with this place. There's also other pictures that are being pushed out by, I think his name is Green Skull, who's an MVP for Xbox, that show a little bit different venue, and that the one that they show where it looks like it's in a tent with like maybe a third of the bleachers filled is essentially an overflow space for the actual venue. But still, the actual venue is only five rows deep.
Exactly.
So while, yes, the main venue is packed, that's probably, you know, those spots are probably reserved for media and VIP. So everybody essentially is going to get shoved into the overflow. And if the overflow is not packed in any way, shape, or form, it does say, you know, hey, this is pretty bad. Then again, you also need to consider, with the way people are going towards streaming and digital, there's no real need to physically attend these things. If you can watch them from the comfort of your couch and still essentially watch and get the same experience. I was able to watch the League of Legends North America Championships when I took my son a couple of years ago to the basketball arena. I don't even know the name of it over at, I should probably start getting more accommodate, you know, more familiar with the Florida State campus, right, Paris?
Yes, you should.
I will, as of June this year, June and July, I will become more familiar with Florida State because my son did get accepted there. But when I went there,
congrats, by the way.
Thank you. But when I went there, it's essentially watching the same thing on the stage. Yes, you don't catch that same experience of being in the arena. It's akin to watching a football or a basketball game, but on a much smaller scale. But yeah, it's the same thing. There's still massive screens up there that are going to show you exactly what's going to be in your Twitch stream. So unless you want that personal experience of being at the event, there's, you know, that's the only trade-off. Now, if you're traveling cross country or you're you're flying from another country to go check this out. Yeah, it might be a little, sobering to think that something that was filling up the forum last year or 2 years ago is essentially shoved into a warehouse space, you know, a year or two later. So I don't know. It's telling, but it's not something that you can't go without, right? Like, it's, if you're going to catch that same experience from watching it on your living room or in your bed on your iPad or tablet, not that bad.
I was reading that there was at least 30,000 people watching through Twitch through time and stuff. So that's not bad, man. 30,000 compared to, I think, what was it? 15,000, Paris? That's what you said before? Mm-hmm. 15,000?
Yep.
Yeah, but yeah, it reached 30,000 plus. So that's not bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. All right. So we're going to wrap it up here, guys. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. And you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And we're going to wrap it up, and we'll be back here this Thursday. We have more content and fan mail, of course. But before we wrap it up, quick feedback. The new Justice League trailer. Your thoughts?
DC needs to step away from the cinematic universe. I said this on Facebook and Twitter after the trailer released yesterday morning. Step away from the cinematic universe. Focus on animated and TV shows, because that's obviously where your strength is. They blew away any semblance of hope, hype, and expectation with that trailer. I'm sorry. I was watching that and I had zero excitement build up as a result of that. I'm more floored that it's going to be as bad as it seems. And I'm ashamed to be a DC fanboy, because I am. I love their comics. I love their animated movies. I love the TV shows. But the movies that they're putting on the screen, it doesn't hold anything when you see what you do with the MCU or even the Netflix stuff. So I have zero expectation. The only reason I'm going to see Wonder Woman besides my wife taking me is because I want to see Gal Gadot. And as sexist as that sounds, it is. That's the only reason why I'm going.
Yeah, I was telling Paris earlier, actually a couple of days ago when they came out, that the trailer reminded me of like some Michael Bay type movie. Yep. There was just too much going on.
It's all flash and excitement, and I don't mean flashes in the character. It just it just seems like a bunch of flash scenes, like, oh, hey, look at this, and here, look at this, and here, look at this. But there's no substance to it. Like, at least with the Wonder Woman trailer, like, you could see it building up the expectation and building up the story.
Exactly.
But with Justice League, it's just like, here's a bunch of explosions and really cool, you know, scenes, but it's like, meh. I have no excitement built for this.
What about you, Paris, before we wrap it up?
When Aquaman turned into the surfer bro and was riding on top of the Batmobile, I was like, yep, I'm out.
But remember, there's going to be a crowd that loves that type of thing, so they're going to go and support this movie, you know?
Here's the problem. Marvel seems to be able to get that crowd, but then also get everyone else at the same time. You know what I mean? Whereas I watch a Guardians of the Galaxy trailer or I watch a Spider-Man trailer and I'm just like, oh my God, when does this come out? I can't wait to go see it. I watch what they just did with Justice League and it's barely above Michael Bay Transformers The Last Knight type stuff, right? Whereas I have zero interest in it and I refuse to go see it. Whereas Justice League, the only reason I might even have a slight bit of interest is because it's Batman. or because it's Wonder Woman, right, or Superman. But then you look at just how bad they're executing what they're trying to do, and they're trying to cater to the lowest common denominator, and it's like, you can be better than this. Why are you doing this? Stick to TV. That's all I can say. Stick to TV. They seem to be able to do TV right, but they sure as hell can't do the movies right. And now, I took from that, that's why Ben Affleck wants the hell out of this. He doesn't want to do this anymore, because this looks terrible. Just does.
On that note, we're out. Until next time, peace. Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.